Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle from Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is an audio version of a book review that I have written. The book under review is by Jennifer Knust and Tommy Wasserman and is titled To Cast the First Stone, subtitled The Transmission of a Gospel Story. It was published by Princeton University Press in 2019 and was 440 pages in length. This book review that I have written first appeared in the Puritan Reformed Journal, Volume 13, Number 1, in January of 2021, and it can be found on pages 195 to 198. Here is the review. A cover blurb by Bart Ehrman rightly describes this collaborative work by Knust, formerly of Boston University and now at Duke University, and Wasserman, a Swedish Baptist scholar, as massively researched. It attempts on a nearly exhaustive and painstakingly detailed scale to describe and analyze the voluminous facts related to the reception history of one of the best loved but most controversial texts in the New Testament, the account of the woman taken in adultery, or the pericope adulteri, the PA hereafter, in John 7:53 through 8:11. This study no doubt will serve as a standard reference work for at least a generation to come for anyone who wishes seriously to understand how this text has been received and transmitted within the larger Christian tradition. The authors begin by noting that the history of the transmission of the PA cannot be traced in a, quote, neat linear sequence of progress and decline, but through fits and starts, accident and chance, end quote, page 12. Since the Enlightenment, most scholars have believed that the PA is non-Johannine, not original to John, but that it remains historical nonetheless. This judgment that the PA is historically valuable and yet canonically suspect stands at the very heart of modern New Testament scholarship, so say Knust and Wasserman, who note at the outset that their intent is not to attempt to recover the original or even the initial text of John, but simply to describe, quote, the available textual objects, each of which tells its own story, end quote, page 46. Operating, however, under the current scholarly assumption that the PA is not original to John, Knust and Wasserman argue that this contested passage entered the Johannine tradition by interpolation at an early stage. Still, they concede, quote, barring the discovery of further evidence, it is impossible to pinpoint the moment or even the century when the pericope adulteri first became Johannine, end quote, page 95. In order to affirm their working assumption that the PA is not original, the authors set out to demonstrate that it is more likely that the passage was originally absent from John and then added by interpolation rather than present and then omitted. Contrary to those of various stripes, from feminists to TR advocates, Knust and Wasserman argue that the PA was not ignored, suppressed, or deleted, but on the contrary, that the story was known and highly regarded from an early stage. This was especially true since, quote, stories about sinning women were immensely popular, end quote, in early Christianity. See page 137. The PA was cited by few early Christian writers because it was probably missing, say the authors, from most copies of John, and therefore it was less widely known. But it was always gospel, they say, to some community of Christians somewhere. See page 171. According to the authors, it is much more likely then that the PA entered John by addition than either by deletion or suppression. The work points out that it was only in the 4th century and later that one finds comments on the textual variations in John regarding the PA. Didymus the Blind noted that it was found only, quote, in certain Gospels, end quote, and Jerome, who included it in his Vulgate, nevertheless noted that it was found only, quote, in many copies, end quote, and not all copies. The best explanation for its inclusion or exclusion was simply, according to the authors, quote, the enduring impact of local book production, end quote, page 181. Those copyists who had an exemplar that included the PA copied it, and those with an exemplar in which it was missing omitted it. The widespread evidence of the eventual acceptance of the PA as canonical, especially in the West, lead Knust and Wasserman to conclude that it is, quote, highly likely that the passage was introduced into a Greek copy of John in the Greek-speaking West, then gradually moved east in time to be retained as fully traditional in both contexts until its removal from the supposed original text by 19th century critical scholars, end quote, page 248. While emphasizing their conclusion that the PA's entry into the text of John came from the early Greek-speaking West, and also fully concurring with modern editorial decisions to bracket the PA as not part of the so-called initial text in printed editions of the Greek New Testament, Knust and Wasserman nevertheless contend that it would be inaccurate to suggest that the PA was underappreciated in the Greek tradition or, quote, kept at the margins of Latin Christian piety, end quote, page 252. To this end, they note Eustathios of Thessaloniki's description of the PA as the pearl of the gospel. The PA was, in fact, a valued and, quote, tenacious tradition, so tenacious that it was repeatedly reintroduced into texts and contexts where it was found to be missing, end quote, page 253. Its tenacity in the East is demonstrated by its incorporation into gospel chapter headings, lectionaries, and the Byzantine liturgy, extending into the medieval period when the PA was regularly read in the celebration of so-called prostitute saints, such as Pelagia of Antioch, Mary of Egypt, and others. See page 324. Throughout the book, the authors are especially keen to point out representations of the PA not only in written form, but also in visual art, from Egyptian ivory pyxides, see pages 205 to 206, to the Carolingian Lothar crystal, see pages 319 to 321, and beyond. In the book's conclusion, the authors brand the PA as, quote, an enduring memory, end quote, in the Christian tradition without drawing any conclusions as to its historicity. On one hand, they agree with modern text criticism that, quote, the story cannot be Johannine in its initial framing, end quote, while on the other hand, rejecting the modern idea that the PA is, quote, peripheral, end quote, noting its, quote, broad, if unexpected, appeal, end quote, in the Christian tradition. See page 343. They conclude that, quote, there is so much more to the story, end quote, of the PA than just posing questions about its authenticity. Just as, quote, there is so much more to the Gospels than can be captured in a single book, end quote, page 344. This book does not address textual variants within the PA, offer any internal evidence for or against the PA's authenticity, provide exegetical analysis, or offer any theological or ethical reflections on the meaning of the passage. Those looking for that kind of analysis of the PA will be disappointed. It does serve, however, as an indispensable resource for those interested in the external evidence and the historical textual transmission or reception of the PA. Though the book is a treasure trove of information about the textual transmission of the PA, in the end, it seems often only able to offer tentative and uncertain assessments and conclusions. It assumes that the PA was not original to John, and even says that this conclusion seems irrefutable, since the passage was almost certainly added to it rather than taken away from it. See page 308. Notice, however, the necessary tentativeness here. These conditions are not irrefutable, but only seem to be so. The PA was not certainly added, but almost certainly. The best they can argue is that the supposed interpolation was done, quote, anonymously by means of some now lost process, end quote, page 310. This stated uncertainty illustrates an epistemological dilemma for those who have embraced the modern text criticism position. The authors acknowledge this when they note that the PA, quote, highlights a rupture within modern Protestantism itself, end quote, page 309. After noting that the Protestant doctrine of sola scriptura requires the determination of, quote, which scriptures should be read, which texts should be embraced, and who should decide, end quote, the authors concede, quote, modern textual criticism cannot solve this problem, end quote, page 309. They then add, quote, perhaps this is why this story proved to be so vexing. The pericope is too well loved and has too often been cited to surrender it to text critical advancement, and yet it cannot be easily defended as part of the evangelist's own text if scientific editorial principles are also embraced, end quote, page 309. Though Canoost and Wasserman affirm the modern consensus that the PA was not part of the so-called initial text of John, their study demonstrates that even a massive empirical evaluation of the extant evidence cannot, in the end, supply any definitive evidence as to when, how, or why the PA was supposedly interpolated into the text of John. This means that this study is also unable definitively to falsify the claim of traditionalists that the PA was original to John and, for some reasons not fully known to us, was omitted or suppressed. What Canoost and Wasserman can clearly affirm is the evidence for the PA's existence in copies of John that are early and widespread. They can also affirm, however, that it was a disputed text, omitted in many traditions, especially in the East, but that it eventually gained widespread and unanimous acceptance as canonical across the breadth of Christianity until the time of the Enlightenment, when it was challenged anew. Though the authors of this work do not draw this conclusion, many who are confessionally reformed are likely to see this tenacity as evidence of its providential preservation as an indispensable part of the authentic, inspired, original text. Here ends the review. You can receive audiobook reviews and book notes like this one, Word Magazine podcasts, and sermons by subscribing to Christ Reformed Baptist Church's sermon audio feed on iTunes by searching for Christ Reformed Baptist Church. For video material, you can subscribe to the Word Magazine channel on YouTube.com. You can also find written book reviews, book notes, and articles on my blog, jeffriddle.net.